السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
هلا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله بخير يا شيخ.
طيب، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، يرحمك الله. Our book on these days is Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. This is the name of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. His name is Muhammad. He was popularly everywhere, the people of Islam. We refer to him as Al-Bukhari al-Bukhari. So much that amongst us, some of the people have taken this name as a personal name and a proper noun. But the name of the Imam himself was Muhammad. So sometimes you hear some of us called Al-Bukhari, Al-Bukhari as a name. The name of the Imam himself was Muhammad. One of the works he compiled apart from As-Sahih is this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. بإذن الله، we'll be looking at it from Hadith 761 under the chapter heading that he titled as باب ما يقول الرجل إذا زكي. The chapter about ما يقول الرجل, what the individual should say إذا زكي, when he is praised, when he is extolled. We are on the discourses about things that are clearly unlawful for us to say, such as making riba, such as saying regarding a group of people that halaka nas, such as exposing a Muslim who deserves a satr al-Muslim, going about to destroy the privacy of the Muslim. These are unlawful. And other unlawful expressions, like referring to a munafiq as Sayyid, master, or oga, or things like these, expressions that show the person being over you, as from the people of Islam, our deen does not support, and it prohibits the Muslims making a munafiq. That was why we had to discuss nifaq and the forms of nifaq. When it becomes known that a person, if it were a nifaqul amali, the nifaq that's related to actions, such as al-kadhib, such as al-khiyana, such as a person lying, such as a person betraying trust, or such as a person breaking promises, or such as al-fujur in al-mukhasama, somebody going beyond limits whenever there is a disagreement. He does not look at the extent of the matter at stake. He goes beyond limits. Or such as istikbar, arrogance, or such as standing lazily in salah, and all of these that we mentioned from the attributes of munafiqun. The Prophet had told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, if lying, breaking the trust, failing promises, and going beyond limits during an altercation, if they gather in a person, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا خَالِصًا. If these four things gather in a person, then that's a munafiq. It can be called munafiq. a person that these four traits gather in him. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ وَإِذَا أُؤْتُمِنَ خَانَ وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. May Allah protect us. وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرَ. These four things combine in him, he is munafiqun khalisun, is a clear-cut munafiq in his deeds. So that expression and this hadith is the hadith to employ regarding such a person. But if it were nifaqun itiqadiyun, the nifaq that has to do with the creed and the belief of the individual regarding those six things we counted, he has it. He can also be referred to as munafiq. These two groups of people, don't refer to them and don't place them as leaders over the people. And then you begin to refer to someone who lies adeptly, someone who breaks promises, someone who betrays the trust, and ikhwa, betraying the trust, it can be, like we explained, between the father and the child. The child may betray trust placed upon him or her by the parents. The mother may betray the trust regarding herself and her husband. The husband may betray the trust between himself and his wife, and so on. In all of these, it is not proper to betray. Something is entrusted to you and then you betray it. It can even be a trust of a secret and then you betray it. If a person has these four things, either haddasa kadaba, when he will talk, he tells a lie, and these four things combine in him, he is munafiq. He can be called by that name, and it is not appropriate to make him lead the Muslims or any one of the six nifaq as forms of nifaq, anwa'u nifaqu al-i'tiqadi, the forms of the nifaq that afflicts the creed of the individual. So these are expressions that are not lawful for us to say. Don't say, don't talk like this. Don't talk like this. Don't talk like this. Don't say halakan nas. People are destroyed. And on the other hand, the allowed things that we should say are also mentioned to us. Like when we are describing somebody, we say the brother is tall. That tall brother, nuridu mada of sifata wala nuridu al-ghiba. By that, we only intend the description. We have not intended any sort of ghiba. From the things that are lawful for us to say, is that when we are praised, somebody, he did something, he said something, or he does something, and then he does it well, and then the people begin to praise him. They begin to pour encomium on him, whether it's an affair from the affairs of the dunya, or it is from the issues of akhirah. The person did it well. He does it well. He coordinates himself well regarding the matter. Maybe he wrote an exam, he got A's, or he does something. Maybe he teaches well, he explains well, and his students know what he says in class as a teacher. And then he is praised for it. When he is praised, what should he say? What has the deen taught us? That when we are praised, we should say it. When people pour encomium on us, words of praise, words of encouragement, what should you say? Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned this hadith and collected it from his Shaykh Makhlad ibn Malik. So he said, rahimahullah, haddathana Makhlad ibn Malik. قال حدثنا حجاج بن محمد الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا مخلد بن مالك قال حدثنا حجاج بن محمد قال أخبرنا مبارك بن فضالة أم بكر بن عبد الله المزني عن عدي بن أرطاه قال كان الرجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذا زكي قال اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون. كان الرجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذا زكي قال اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his Sheikh Makhlad ibn Malik, who said حدثنا حجاج بن محمد, who said أخبرنا مبارك بن فضالة. This Imam is well known. مبارك بن فضالة أبو فضالة البصري. مبارك بن فضالة, he was أبو فضالة البصري. He was reporting from بكر بن عبد الله المزني, أبو عبد الله. بكر بن عبد الله المزني, أبو عبد الله. Who reported from Adi ibn Artan. Adi ibn Artan was an elder amongst the Tabi'un. He was an elder well known amongst the Tabi'un. Adi ibn Artan, one of the scholars who has a name similar to his own and people mispronounce, was Al-Imam Hajjaj ibn Artan. Some of the people, when they pronounce Artan, and in fact, in some prints, they will write Arta'ah. That's Alifun Maddi of Ta'ah. They place an Am, a Hamza on it. And that is not appropriate. The name is Arta'ah, not Arta'ah. The name is Arta'ah. We even heard learned people saying Arta'ah. I know one of our little brothers here, when he calls this name, he says Arta'a. I say, no, it is Arta'a. So this Tabi'i, his name was Adi ibn Arta'a al-Fazari, rahimahullah. He said regarding the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, كَانَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, an individual amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one of them, an individual. Usually this expression, when they say ar-rajulu, just like we read during when we read the title, that ma yakulu ar-rajulu idha zukiya, what the individual should say. Ar-rajulu here does not mean that it is restricted to the males and not the females. Usually expressions like these cover both males and females, referring to the individual, ar-rajulu. So he said, rahimahullah, كان الرجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ورضي الله عنه إذا زكي قال, when the individual is praised and praising the people, it may be lawful, and it has circumstances when it may not be lawful. It may be lawful to praise an individual if he has actually done something praiseworthy. It is lawful to praise an individual if he has actually done something praiseworthy. It is not lawful to praise an individual if he has done something that is unlawful. It is not lawful in Islam that you praise an individual when he has done something unlawful. Because we have seen in our society people praising people even when what they do is something that is haram. We have seen in our society people praising people even when what they did is haram. And you will see Muslims praising such persons too. Such praises are not lawful. The only times that praising people is lawful in our deen is when what the person has done is halal, or from the things that the Sharia has praised and encouraged that we should do, or even made obligatory. In such an instance, it is lawful biiznillah to praise a person. The second condition about praising the people is that that praise must not be harmful to the individual. The praise must not be harmful to the individual. Some of the people, when they are praised, the praise becomes a fitna to them, and then they lose the value for which we have praised them. Some of the people, when they are praised, they lose the value for which we praise them. So the one who is praising, the one who is extolling the virtue in someone, be sure that the extolment you are giving him, the encomium you are pouring on him, he is a person who the Ibnillah, rather than make him lose the virtue, the encomium, the praise you are pouring on him, would rather encourage him and make him do more and do better. The third condition about raising people in our deen is that it should be within the limits of what the person has done. It is unlawful to praise a person for what he has not done. Unfortunately, the human mind will accept it. It's unfortunate. And Allah mentions those kinds of people. الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. They desire, they like it that they are praised for something they don't have. They are praised for something they did not do. An economist wanting to be praised as a scholar of Quran when he has not learned Quran to attain scholarship. Just because you have a PhD in economics, it does not mean that you are a scholar of Quran. Just when you have a professorial degree in chemistry, why should you express or desire to be praised for your for any knowledge you claim to have on accountancy? He may not have been trained as an accountant. He might not have even personally studied accounting, and is a professor of chemistry. So sometimes people like to be praised for something they have not done. The same thing. Somebody may be a scholar of tafsir, a scholar of qira'at. He wants to be praised for being a scholar of hadith. He might not have studied the science of hadith to become a muhaddith or hadithi, alal aqal, as they are called, but he likes to be praised for it. Meanwhile, all that he spent his life in was studying fiqh or studying tafsir. As for saying that a hadith is sahih or not, he has not been trained to be able to do this. Yet he likes to be praised for the being a scholar of hadith. All these things must be in place before a praise is lawful. The first thing is that you'll be praising somebody upon something that is lawful. In our own society today, a man will commit zina, nas'allah salamatu wal afiyah, and he'll be praised over it. The matter will go in the public and people, some of the people, may Allah protect us. Someone commits a sin. Someone works in a bank of riba, consumes riba, and then people praise him for it. This is not lawful in our religion. Don't praise somebody for doing something that is unlawful. The only person you will praise is someone who has done something lawful or something that Islam has encouraged, something that Islam has even obligated. He does it and he does it well, then he may be praised. The second condition about praising a Muslim or praising a person generally is that you must be sure that the praise will not turn around to become a means of discouragement. That's why you see some of the people, when they are praised, the praise becomes a trial unto them, as if that you just broke his back. He will not be able to continue upon the virtue for which you have praised him. The third thing is that you should not praise a person beyond what he has done. Praise him just over the virtue that he has acquired and for which he has shown proficiency. Avoid praising people for what they have not done, because in that circumstance, the praise would have become a false praise. Why? It is a praise regarding something that he did not do. So these three conditions must be there if you want to praise somebody. You are sure that bismillah, he has done something lawful. You are also sure that the praise will not turn around to destroy him. You are also sure that you are praising him within what he has attained proficiency about. Now, when you praise him, I like us to go back to Hadith 333 here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and those are Hadith below it, between 333 and 336. You can go back to it. We have discussed the rulings about praising somebody. So we would not like to go back to those ahadith and those lessons. Perhaps if you go back to it, all these conditions we have mentioned, you will find it in the explanations, bismillah. So back to our classes for Hadith 761. A person now, we are praising. We have gone beyond those three conditions. We have seen that he has done something lawful. We have seen that the praising will not break his back. Because the Prophet wasallam, in some circumstances, he discouraged that people are praised. He referred to it as breaking the back of your brother. And in some circumstances, he himself praised some people. Allah also praised people in the Quran. He praised the companions, radiallahu anhum. So the praises of some of the companions was there from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did praise people. So that is if you know that the praises, the encomium, will not turn around to become a fitna for the individual. Then thirdly, you do not praise that individual beyond his capabilities. So in all of these, if it is now there that we now saw somebody and praise him, what will that person say in return? We praise him. We say well of him. Maybe he wrote an exam and passed all A's. We now praise him. This is a good behavior, excellent. Or he performs his salat well at its time in the masjid in Jama'ah. Or he's a person who spends money upon the path of Allah, well known. Or is a person who helps people who are suffering. Or is a person who teaches the religion and he does it well with every passion. Or is a person who handles his home well. Or she's a wife who is very humble to her husband and honest, not betraying him. Or is a child who does well and is a means of joy for the parents. In all of these, we now praise the people. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that Adi ibn Arta, he said, كان الرجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. What we have reported from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام was that if any individual amongst them, إذا زكية, if he was praised, if encomium was poured on him, he said, اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون. We should add it to it that واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. Three expressions. اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون وَجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Three expressions. اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. So you are a professor of mathematics, a professor of biology, professor of chemistry, professor of Arabic language, professor of hadith, professor of fiqh. You are now doing an inaugural lecture and they are reading your citation. What should you say? They are telling what you have done, what you have achieved. Please keep it in mind. Say these expressions. And it will be a means of protection for you, bi-ibnillah, from the deceit and the deception of shaitan, from the aspects of self-amazement and arrogance that comes with praise, and that follows destruction. May Allah protect all of us. Or you are a scholar, bi-ibnillah, who attends a lecture, and you are sitting in front of them, they are so glad to see you and welcome you. They begin to praise you and said that you are an expert in this field of knowledge, in fiqh, in aqidah, in hadith, and all of these. They praise you, praise your students, praise your madrasa, praise your efforts, and all of these. Keep it in mind. For me, the first time that I heard this hadith was some years ago, around 2002, 2003. Fortunately, that was the first time I was listening to a lecture verbally. That was in 2003 by Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, the Imam of this time, rahimahullah, amongst the scholars of Sunnah. He attended a lecture, fortunately. He was being praised by a very elderly person. Very elderly. The person who was introducing the lecture was a very elderly person amongst the scholars. And that was Sheikh Zuhair Shawish. Some said it was Sheikh Ibrahim Shakra. The two of them were elderly amongst the students of Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah. And as he was being introduced to give the lecture, they began to praise him. This is the Sheikh of the people of Hadith, their teacher, their scholar, who has written many books of Hadith, this, that, that. And the Imam broke in tears, rahimahullah. And Imam al-Albani, he broke in tears. He could not speak. For about the first 5 minutes of the audio, he was crying. He was weeping because he was praised. That was Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah. People who spent over 50, 60 years studying, authoring, and teaching. They were praised because of knowledge. And then he broke down in tears. Then he read this dua. Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun. Waghfirli ma la ya'lamun. وَجَعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Not too long ago, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan al-Fawzan, the present Grand Mufti, al-Mufti al-Am, for al-Mamlakat al-Arabiya al-Saudiya, he also attended a lecture in a university very recently. And the person coordinating the program began to praise him. He cut off the praise. He stopped the talk. And then he also began to caution about praising people and the danger that's involved in the praise. If I remember vividly in that audio, he also said this dua. Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun. Waghfirli ma la ya'lamun. Waj'alni khayran mimma yazunnun. They say this dua. The scholars say it a lot. And we have learned that. We took that guidance from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhu, that when the individual is praised, he should say, Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun. O Allah, don't take me to responsibility for what they are saying. They are calling me this. Don't hold me responsible. They say I'm a scholar of this. Don't hold me responsible. Don't hold me responsible for what they have said about me in terms of goodness. وَغْفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Forgive me what they don't know about me. And that is the situation with we human beings. What you are praising him for in a path of knowledge or in a behavior or in a feat or all of this, it might have come with a lot of shortcomings. Shortcomings, ikhwa, wallahi, as an individual. Very big shortcomings that you have as an individual. You know it, and Allah knows it better than you. So when you are praised, your mind goes to those shortcomings. If they say you are a scholar of hadith, your mind goes to what you don't know in that science of hadith, what you don't know about it. And that's why you cannot find any learned person who does not have an error upon that very, very science or branch of knowledge for which he is being praised. You will see a mistake that he made by way of indicating that we are all bashar. We are all human beings. We are all prone to errors. So when they praise you, remember your mistakes and ask Allah for forgiveness about them. That matter they are praising you about, you have faults in them. They may not see it because of love for you. But keep it in mind. You know that you have faults. And those faults are known to Allah. So beg Allah to forgive you those faults and say, وَغُفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those things they don't know about me, that I am wrong. Or in other things, you may know one branch so well, and maybe in your character you're a tough person. I have heard about one of the scholars that's very, very tough. Very tough as a person, as an individual. He's tough and he gets angry very easily. One of the learned persons narrated an incident between him, the two of them. It's a very tough incident. So sometimes a learned person will be learned, he will be everything, but he gets angry easily. And that's his fault that he is managing as an individual. So this fault, when you praise him, he'll be remembering it. وَغُفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Sometimes those faults are known, sometimes the faults are not known. إِخْوَى. Sometimes the faults are known, sometimes the faults are not known. So especially when we don't know them, we beg Allah to forgive us. If they praise you, know that you have faults. Beg Allah for those faults. You should say, وَغْفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون. The third expression that has come in all the reports of this dua is that we should say واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. Oh Allah, make me better than what they think of me. جعلني يا ربنا. Oh Allah, make me better than what they think. وَاجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. So the expressions are three in number. اللَّهُمَّ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا يَقُولُونَ وَغُفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَاجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. اللَّهُمَّ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا يَقُولُونَ وَغُفِرْ لِي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. So you're a professor, for your inaugural lecture, keep this in mind. When they read your citations, say this in your mind. اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. You can say it in the microphone so that even non-Muslims know that you are a guided person upon Islam. Translate it. Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yaqulun. Oh Allah, don't hold me responsible for the praises they have poured on me. Waghfir li ma la ya'lamun. Forgive me over my shortcomings that they don't know about. وَاجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Do we not know that some people, the day they praise them, that is the last day they ever do well? Subhanallah. Some people, the day you praise him, that is the day of his burial. You will hardly see anything good about him again. So you beg Allah, Allahumma ja'alni khairan mimma yadhunnun. So if they think of you that you are on a scale of 10 as good as on as 7 or 6, Allahumma ja'alni khairan mimma yadhunnun. Oh Allah, make me better. Make me achieve 8 and 9 and 10 over 10. So when a person is praised, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they return to Allah by saying, Allahumma, Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun, waghfir li ma la ya'lamun, waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. If you read these expressions and think about it, you will see that they will encourage the individual upon humility. Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun, waghfir li ma la ya'lamun. That will not make you think that there is nothing you don't know. There is no goodness that is not contained in you. Every form of goodness you have it. La. Waghfir li ma la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, what they don't know about my shortcomings. I get annoyed easily. It's tough sometimes. He relates with people. Or that there are things also that he does not also know. And they would have imagined that he knows it. وَغْفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُ. Forgive me. وَجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. No matter how good that I am, make me better than what they think. If they think that I am good on a scale of 7 from 10, make me a better person, Ya رب العالمين. So these three expressions, we should memorize them. That is what we should say when we are praised. Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun, waghfir li ma la ya'lamun, waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. That is Hadith 6761. I hope that it is clear, inshallah. حديث that followed it. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا أبو عاصم عن الأوزعي عن يحيى بن أبي كثير عن أبي قلابة أن أبا عبد الله قال لأبي مسعود أو أبو مسعود قال لأبي عبد الله ما سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في زعمة فقال بئس نطية الرجل. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith here from one of the eldest teachers from whom he took knowledge, Abu Asim al-Nabil al-Dhahak ibn Makhlad, from the eldest among the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Ani al-Awza'i is reporting from the scholars of the people of Shia. Al-Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah. عبد الرحمن بن عمرو أبو عمرو رحمه الله الإمام الأوزاعي well known from the scholars of hadith and fiqh and sunnah. الإمام الأوزاعي here is reporting from another well known scholar, leading scholar among the scholars of hadith and fiqh, يحيى ابن أبي كثير رحمه الله. He is also reporting from a well-known scholar of hadith, Abu Kilaba, that is Abdullah ibn Zayd al-Hadi, Abdullah ibn Zayd al-Jarmi, rahimahullah. He is saying that Anna'ba Abdullah, Abu Kilaba, reports that Abu Abdullah here is mentioned to be the companion Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman. Abu Abdullah here is mentioned to be Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, and Abu Mas'ud here is mentioned to be Abu Mas'ud Uqba ibn Amr al-Badri. Do we remember Abu Mas'ud al-Badri? he stays near the place where that Battle of Badr was fought. There's a well there. He stays near that well. So he's ascribed to the location. Al-Badri, Abu Mas'udin Al-Badri, Uqba ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu. It was a discussion between Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, Abu Abdullah, and Abu Mas'udin Al-Badri, radiallahu anhuma. It said that, Qala Abu Abdullah, Anna Abu Abdullah, Qala li Abi Mas'ud. Whether it was Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman asking Abu Mas'ud, or Abu Mas'udin qala li Abi Abdullah, or it was Abu Mas'ud asking Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. Either Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman was asking Abu Mas'udin al-Badri, or it was Abu Mas'udin al-Badri asking Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. Ma sami'ta an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam fi za'ama. What did you hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? What did you hear him saying about za'ama? Za'ama means it was said, or it was reported, or an expression by which people want to report something that they are not certain about. So it was claimed that, or he claimed that, someone claimed. And this is in wide use by journalists in modern day. That the reports say that, it was claimed that, it was reported that, it was mentioned that, it was related that, it was like that, without a verification. The reason journalists and writers employ these expressions is to show that the report might not be verified. The reason why reporters, writers, authors employ these expressions, or narrators of incidences, they will start saying, it was reported that, it was claimed that, it was said that, it was mentioned that. These kinds of expressions, they are just to show that a report may, after all, not be verified. So they want to convey information to us. They also want to tell us that this information may not be verified. In that circumstance, they now said Zama. So Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman was asking Abu Mas'udin al-Badri, or vice versa, that it was Abu Mas'udin asking Hudhayfa, what did you hear from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding such expressions? And he answered him and said that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, bi'isa matiyatu rajul, bi'isa Matiyatu rajuli, matiya ikhwa, is the markub of the individual, the riding animal that you ride. So the Prophet called it bi'sa, an evil ride it is. Our rides convey us. So those expressions with which we convey narratives, to say za'ama is a very bad means of conveying reports by an individual. Bi'isa matiyatu rajuli, a very bad means of conveying, an evil means of conveying reports, is by saying that it was said that, he claimed that, he expressed that, he was said to have said that. These kinds of expressions, why? They show that the person conveying the information, lam yatathabbat fi ma yakul, he has not made tathabbut, he has not affirmed, found out, and established the facts in what he's saying. He's just saying it. He's just quoting. He's just ascribing. And that statement actually said so. That's why most times when journalists say that, they'll tell you if you go to hold them to sue them for libel or something, or slander, they can say the reports have been mentioned to be unverified. So don't spread information that is not verified. Ikhwa, this is very common today. Don't spread unverified information. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called that bi isamatiyatu rajul. That's a very bad means for the individual to convey an expression. To say it was claimed that. He claimed that. It was reported that. No. So person, have you, Ikhwa, not noticed all of what we have been reporting? This is a report regarding an incident between two companions to teach us a lesson in it. And he said it was either this happened like this or this is a verified information now with an isnad that ends up with Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. So we should avoid sending information to people, Ikhwa, without verification. How many people have been arrested in the last 1 month in our own country for spreading false news and raising false alarms? Oh, there are some this, oh, there are some that, oh, there are this. And the police went to arrest them. Up till as we speak now, some of them might still be in jail, whether by detention, waiting for their cases to be heard, or actually that their cases have been heard and they have been sent to jail. Why? They were spreading unverified information. The Sharia condemns it. The human mind condemns it. Common sense condemns it. Don't spread information that is not verified. Unfortunately, it is the in thing on the social media now. People spreading unverified information. And then when you ask them to verify, they themselves don't know. He just heard and then he forwarded it and spread it. Likewise, on the status of people, this is wrong and unlawful. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in a report that was collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, kafa lil mar'i kaziban an yuhaddifa bi kulli ma yakul. أن يحدث بكل ما سمع كفى للمرء كذبا. It is sufficient for us to know that this person lies. He has told a lie. Why? يحدث بكل ما سمع. Whatever he hears, he says it and spreads it. Why? He does not verify it. No verification. As they said it, he spreads it. As they said it, he spreads it. كفى للمرء كذبا أن يحدث بكل ما سمع. It suffices for us to say this person is a liar. Why? He spreads just anything. You look at it too on the social media, in the news, everywhere. There are some individuals who have been known to spread news without verification. What value do they have in the sight of people? People who spread news without verifying. The same thing, spreading a hadith without verifying it. The scholars have not verified that the hadith is sahih. That is what says, yes, it is correct to spread. People go on spreading reports, unverified reports they ascribe to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it suffices for us to say, are you a liar? Why? Why you spread false news? You spread unverified news. You can see spreading false news is worse. Why? It is verified to be false. It is not lawful to spread unverified information. Not to say spreading information that is verified to be a lie. فَكَفَى لِلْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا. Therefore, it is sufficient for a person to be known as a liar. أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. We know him that when he spreads news, when he says things, it will be a lie that he's saying. All that, it will be just any statement on the road without verification. Don't forget that al-kadhib, telling lies, is from the ways of the munafiqun. Allah said, Wallahu yashhadu innal munafiqina lakadhibun. Allah affirms that the people of Nifaq, Munafiqun, they are liars. Some people deliberately lie. May Allah protect us. So it suffices to say that a person is a liar when he spreads unverified information. This hadith is also affirming that the Prophet called Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spreading false or unverified information. Like we said, spreading false information is worse. Spreading false information is worse. Spreading unverified information is unlawful. But spreading false information is worse than that. Why? Because it is verified to be a lie. In both cases, the Sharia has prohibited us from doing that. Don't spread false information. Fortunately, Hadith 763 and Hadith 762 we just read, they have a slight difference in their isnad, but the expression is there too. The expression is there too, that Abdullah ibn Amir, he said, Ya Aba Mas'ud, O Abu Mas'ud, ما سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول في زعمه. What did you hear the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying about زعمه? Here it comes in the plural. They claimed that زعمه. He claimed that. It was claimed that. They said that. It was reported that. It was confirmed, conveyed that. It was transmitted in like this. Without verification. This thing is a sickness in the times that we are in. Spreading unverified information. No verification. And he goes on spreading it. So Abu Mas'ud al-Badri was asked here, even though this is nad. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions a few things about it. We know that with the one we just read in 762, that this expression is sound. That Samirtuhu Yaqul, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that bi'isa matiyatu rajul, to be saying that is one of the worst things an individual will depend on to convey information. Matiya is what you stand upon to move from one location to the other. It will convey you. So one bad way to convey information is to say it was said, I heard without verification. You be saying information, no verification. So you be employing expressions that show that this statement or this narrative was not something that is verified. Unverified reports. People spread it. It is very common with journalists. Some of them are just mere lies that they told. So it is not lawful for a Muslim to do that. وَسَمِعْتُهُ يَقُولُ لَعْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَقَتْلِهِ. This is one of the evidences in this isnad that one of the reporters had mixed up the reports, as Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah. One of the reporters had mixed up the reports. He mixed up two narrations that are differently authentic. Two reports that are differently authentic were mixed up here. In Ula discussions, they are given about the chain of report. But the two expressions are right. One, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the use of such unverified expressions, he had condemned it. He is an affiliate of Rajul. Also bad. How so evil it is for an individual to depend on those kinds of expressions to spread the news. This is an individual's bad way of conveying information to people. So this is known in the hadith that came before it as something that has been authentically reported from the Prophet Muhammad. Then the second expression was the name to who Yaqul. لَعْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَقَتْلِهِ. Cursing a Muslim is like killing a Muslim. This one prohibits cursing a Muslim. لعن المؤمن قصن a person of إيمان كقتله it is like killing him in its ruling when you curse a mu'min you would have brought him down when you curse a mu'min you would have brought him down so this one discourages us ikhwah from cursing ourselves la'nu al-mu'min kaqatlihi if you would not want to kill your brother muslims may Allah protect us And committing murder is a big evil. Committing murder, we studied about it in Kitab al-Kabair. Committing murder is one of the kabair. It's a major sin, so despicable. As despicable as it is, something like it is la'anul mu'min. Cursing the Muslim. Ikhwa, avoid cursing your brother. Avoid cursing it. Brothers, avoid cursing your brothers. Sisters, avoid cursing your sisters. Husband, avoid cursing your wives. Parents, avoid cursing your children. Avoid it. Make sure you don't do it. Keep away from it. Please. Because la'anul mu'min, cursing the person of iman, it resembles like killing him. Because if you kill him, may Allah protect us. That's a big sin. So the same thing, if you curse him, you are saying that he should be expelled from the mercy of Allah. Why should you want your brother? Why should you want your sister? Why should you want your wife? Why should you want your husband? Why should you want your son to be expelled from the mercy of Allah? Even though, yes, this may happen to us sometimes at the times of anger, when the man is so angry, when the woman is so angry, we all lose controls. And these expressions come to us. Let us temper justice with mercy. Of course, the situation may deserve it. Like al-mazloom, the one who was treated with al-zulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول from السوء من القول is لعن المؤمن expressions that are bad to say don't curse someone this is سوء من القول Allah says لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء Allah does not like it that someone comes he starts talking may Allah punish us may Allah punish us he expresses this سوء القول negative statements publicly. Allah does not like it. Illa man zulim. Except in the cases of people who have been treated unjustly. The man was going in the market, pickpockets picked his money. He started shouting, those who pick my money, may Allah curse you. It's mazloom. The man was going in the market, his pocket was sliced and his money was taken away. He starts shouting, who took my money? Who took my money? The man was selling his products. Some people came and broke into his store, burglars, broke into his store, they packaged things and ran away. He came the next morning to open his shop. He cannot find his luggages. He starts shouting, those people who do this, may Allah do this to them. May Allah do this, start cursing. This person is mazloom. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اتقوا دعوة المظلوم وإن كان من كافرين. Be careful, beware of the curse of a person who was treated badly. You treated him unjustly. You usurped the rights of your husband. Or you usurped the rights of your wife. Or you use up the rights of your son, your child, as the case may be, avoid eating up the rights of people. Avoid zulm. Avoid treating people badly, unjustly, being unfair to them, aggressing against them, and oppressing them. Wallahi ladhi la ilaha illahu. If they curse you, that curse will reach you. I usually say to people, if you treated somebody badly, just apologize flatly. apologize. Don't be ashamed to apologize. Clearly, on the spot. I am sorry for what I have done. Please pardon me for the sake of Allah. So the mazlum, he can forgive you. Some of the people, out of arrogance, rather than apologize, they start shouting. That one say, oh, you are shouting. We call Allah to it. Oh, Allah, judge him. Allah will judge you. Allah will judge you. Because da'watul mazlum is a da'wah. It goes up and Allah accepts it. It does not have any sort of a barrier between it and Allah, as the Prophet said in a lot of ahadith. One of the scholars compiled a whole book about this subject. He called it da'watul mazlum. The cause of the person that has been treated wrongly. You treated him unjustly, like a wife betraying the husband. It's very common. Like the husband also betraying the wife. These days, people go back and say, oh, the man cheated, the woman cheated. It's part of vul, it's part of khiyana. And they don't see it as anything. If a man cheats, it's issue. I heard a case of a woman that her husband took a second wife and she went to commit zina. It's a well-known case. She just wants to punish the man. She said she wants him to taste how it looks like when you go. This one, the man married the wife. Allah has allowed that. But your zina, Allah has not allowed it. So if you don't repent to Allah, you may be punished for your zina. The man has not treated you badly. You are the one who was unjust to yourself. So if your husband causes you to reach you, why? You have treated him with betrayal. You betrayed your husband. So it can happen vice versa too. That a man betrayed his wife. Betrayal. I heard a case, a woman, she was very rich. This was about 10, 11 years ago. Very rich. Somebody married her and took a loan from her. Millions of naira, over 200 million. That time, about 12, 13 years ago, because this one happened while I was in the north, in Kaduna. A lot of money. And then divorced her. He took a loan from his wife and then divorced the woman. We have heard cases like this. We have cases where a woman had a lot of money, gave it to her husband, keep it for me. He ate up the money. And then began to treat her badly, telling her, if you want to get out of my house, get out. All of these. Don't allow that woman to curse you. Don't allow her to curse you. Apologize to her and return her rights to her. Because da'watul mazlum, the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, ittaqu da'watul mazlum wa in kana min kafirin. Even if that person is a kafir, if you treated him badly, you oppressed him, you usurped his wealth, you usurped his rights, be careful. You are going to pay for it. May Allah protect all of us. So that is the meaning of the last expression. La'nul mu'min kaqatlihi. That one is authentic as a hadith. Bi'isa matiyatu rajul. It's a bad thing for an individual when he conveys information to say and convey that information without verifying it. And then he begins to employ expressions like, it was claimed that, it was reported that, it was said that, and all of these, knowing fully well that these are expressions that show that the information he is conveying is not authentic, is not established. This is not lawful at all. May Allah protect all of us. The last two hadith 762 and 763, spoke about the use of that expression, za'ama, conveying information using expressions that are not verified. What is the connection between this and what the individual should say when he's praised? Some scholars say that the connection is that an individual should not be praised except with verified virtues. Don't praise somebody except that their virtues are verified. But I think, and Allah knows best, looking at these ahadith, it is possible that the last two hadiths that we read, hadith 762 and 763, they have a separate باب ترجمة الباب that is missing. Because they are also from the things that we cannot say. So the last hadith, ما يقول الرجل إذا زكي, what the individual should say when he is praised, اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. That's a chapter. Another chapter heading is that it is not lawful باب أن أو باب النهي عن القول زعم أو زعموا. The chapter prohibiting that a person should be employing these kinds of expressions when they convey a narrative. If you are not sure about the narrative, then keep quiet. In fact, the ulama say there's a second condition. The narrative should be authentic, then it should not bring about public insecurity. So in Islam, it is not correct. Yes, the narration is authentic if it will bring and lead to public unrest. Then don't say it. Allah mentioned something like that to us in Surah At-Tawbah. What did he say at the beginning? That some people, when they hear a matter, min al-khawfi awil amni wa idha ja'a amrun min al-amni awil khawf. Something happens concerning safety or concerning a situation of fear. Allah said, Aza'u bihi. It is one of the ways of munafiqun. When something brought fear in the community, they start saying it. They want the community to be engulfed in fear. They begin to threaten, oh, these people, oh, they deliberately want to spread evil. So even if it is correct, but we know that spreading it will bring about public unrest. People will be uncomfortable. Everybody will be running helter-skelter. Or that it will spread facade. That's why it was common amongst the Salaf too. To say nashrul fahisha, fahishatun, spreading obscenity is itself obscene. So don't spread something that, yes, it is correct, but it will bring about decay in the society or fear in the society. So how about spreading it when it is not correct, and then it will bring about worry and fear and scare in the land. Islam prohibits it. So it appears that it's a different chapter heading from the chapter heading about ما يقول الرجل إذا زكي. So if you are praised, you should say, اللهم لا تؤاخذني بما يقولون واغفر لي ما لا يعلمون واجعلني خيرا مما يظنون. The second matter today, avoid conveying information with expressions that show that the information is not verified. Do not spread unverified reports in the society. When the reports are now even verified, if they will not support public safety and public mental health, then do not spread information that will cause disharmony, that will cause discomfort in the society and help spread evil. I hope that these reports are clear. At the 761, 762, and 763
about the Rahman. Salaam alaikum, Ya
Shaykh. Ameen wa iyaakum.
What of the question is, what if the audience says that Rasulullah Khairan with a tone of praise? What should the speaker do?
We have not said that it is not lawful to praise a person. We have not said that. We said it is lawful to praise. And we gave the conditions for which we can praise a Muslim who has done something good. He does what is good, so you praise him. Or that you know that praising him will not make him feel arrogant. Bismillah. Or that you know that what you are praising him for, yes, it is with him. Jazakumullahu khairan is more of an appreciation. If it comes with praise, there's no blame in that. Saying Jazakumullahu khairan to a person. Like you said, the person did well. So, oh, Jazakumullah khairan, he has done well, then that's okay. You are praying for him. In this kind of a circumstance, if he feels that the way you have said it means that you are praising him, then it is for him to begin to seek refuge with Allah by saying this dua, Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yakulun, wa kufir li ma la ya'alamun, wa ja'alni khairan mimma yazunun. After he responds to their jazakumullahu khairan, by saying that jazakumullahu ameen, wa antum fa jazakumullahu khairan, aw wa antum fa jazakumullahu atyaba jaza. I hope that it is clear about the Rahman. I mean, well, yeah.
Is it the same as reporting on verified reports with the statement allegedly as it is commonly done today?
Yes, allegedly is part of it. Allegedly, in fact, za'ama can translate allegedly. Za'ama can translate as allegedly. Avoid it. Because allegedly means some people have said that and it may not be true. The meaning of allegedly is that some people say it and it may not be true. You should only say what you know to be true. And you know that if you spread it, it will not bring about public unrest. If it is true, it should not also lead to public unrest. This, our religion, is a perfect deen, sir. It was sent by Al-Alimul Khabir. If you begin to spread bad news in the society, news that brings people to unrest, you'll be killing people even when they are not dead. People feel unsafe, scared, unable to do anything because they are scared and afraid. Islam prohibits spreading news. Unfortunately, it was one of the ways of Munafiqun in Medina at that time. Whenever they heard anything, they go and start spreading it. And that shows that government can manage the information that they spread. In our religion, it recognizes that government can manage it. Recently, let me give us an example. They said there was a coup. When the news came out, the government rejected it, that there was no coup. And gradually, they started bringing people in public that, yes, they were engaged in a coup. Because at the beginning, it can cause more problems. So government will be managing the kind of information they say to the public. Unfortunately, we're in a generation, a secondary school boy will have a Twitter handle and he's asking the personal assistant to the president, what did you do regarding this? Who are you? Keep quiet. Keep quiet. He said, no, it is for public accountability. It is not everything they can say and bring to the public. There is no sane society that does not have the secret things that government, information that government is monitoring and managing. Let us recognize this in our country. When people ask government questions and criticize government, many times they are doing that based upon matters that government should not be talking about in public. Unfortunately, it has become a means of public worry and a feeling of unsafe. People, everybody, everywhere, feeling unsafe. People make government say what they should not say to us. And they say it's accountability. Which accountability to that is that? What has that brought out of our accountability? So it's not appropriate that everything is brought into the public. That is when they are true. How about when they are lies? How about when they are fake news? How about when they are just spread as lies to demean government and bring government down? Islam does not want government to be disgraced and insulted. Our religion does not like it. May Allah protect all of us and forgive all of us. Allah the Rahman.
Ameen.
Yeah.
Another question I have. If one calls his child saying he will suffer because the child offended him, does he have to pray specifically that Allah removes us from?
Yes, pray specifically. pray if you curse your child, then pray for him. If you curse your wife, pray for her. If you curse your husband, pray for him. This one, there's a hadith regarding it. Maybe we'll cite that hadith and stop there. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is a bit disturbing. We have a lot of lessons to learn regarding the question that you have asked. The hadith occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. The part of it that I want to say. But the end of it regarding the question you have asked occurs in Sahih Muslim. Our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had a female slave and gave that slave to our mother Aisha to take care of. Radiallahu anha. The Prophet had a female slave, young girl. Gave Aisha, take care of this person, I'm coming. The Prophet went sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the time he came back, our mother Aisha was not careful about that female slave. I think it happened perhaps in one of the battles. And then the female slave had run away. Young female slave ran away. So when he came, said, Aisha, where is the person what I had entrusted to you? And she said, I went to take care of some visitors or something, not knowing the person went away. The Prophet was annoyed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is evidence, like he said to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I'm a man like other men. I'm a man, I'm a human being. The Prophet was annoyed, and then he said to her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَطَّ اللَّهُ يَدَكِ. May Allah cut your hand. How is that? The Messenger alayhi salam said to Aisha, may Allah cut your hand off. So as he said that, he went away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mother Aisha began to, because she knew that this is something, a statement from the Messenger. She started opening, turning her hands, looking at her hands, as if that the hands would be cut off immediately, the Prophet said to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she was turning the hands. The Prophet came back and saw her turning her palms up, flipping it up, down. So he asked her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is wrong with you? Why are you turning? He used an expression I don't want to use, alayhi sallam. What's wrong with you? Why are you turning your hands up, down? So he just said now that Allah should cut off my hand. So I'm looking which of the hands will Allah cut off. Radiallahu anha. Aisha. I'm waiting which one of the two hands that Allah will cut. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, innama ana basharun aghdabu kama yaghdabun aw aghdabu kama yaghdabu al-bashar. I am just a human being. I get annoyed as people get annoyed. What does that mean? That what he said earlier was a statement out of what? Annoyance. So Aisha, don't think that Allah will cut off your hand. No, Allah will not cut off. Yes, she actually made a mistake. Allah will not cut off your hand. I was just annoyed. And I said what I said. I'm a human being. And this last part of it occurs in Sahih Muslim. That the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he now prayed for our mother Aisha. And this dua, the scholars say, we all can be using it. If you curse somebody, you now touch that path. Let me reverse it. Make this dua for that person. That Allahumma man sabbaktuhu aw la'antuhu faj'alhu lahu zakatan wa rif'atan aw rahmatan. Hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Rif'a aw rahma. O Allah, anyone that I have cursed or that I have said something strong against, make that from amongst the people of Islam, make it a means of purity for that person and a means of raising the status for that person. I cursed the person. I said, please forgive me. Make it be a means of goodness for that person. So that was the dua the Prophet made, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to our mother Aisha, radiyallahu anha. So I hope that it directly answers that. If it happens between husband and wife, make dua for your wife. Let her make dua for you too. If it happens between father and child, make dua for your son. Let the son make dua for you too. Ikhwa, make dua. We get annoyed. Things disappoint us between ourselves. So when it happens, after you have calmed down, make dua for yourselves. If Allah wants to hold us regarding all of these, it will be difficult. That's why Allah says, لَا يُؤَخِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ بِاللَّغْوِ فِي أَيْمَانِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِذُكُمْ بِمَا عَقَدْتُمُ الْأَيْمَانِ. Even when we make vows, many times we go, wallahi, hey, they are just lagu. So many times these curses or tough expressions between we and our wives, or between we and our children, or between our brothers or our sisters, we say something tough to ourselves. Many times these things are from the aspects of lagu. Talks people make that have no consequence. They have no meaning. The other side of it is that if you're a wife, you are the one who has offended your husband, apologize. Like our Aisha, our mother Aisha. If you are the husband, you apologize, you have wronged your wife, apologize to her. If you're a child, you wrong your father, apologize to your father. May Allah protect all of us and forgive all of us. Allah Rahman, I hope that resolves that question, inshallah. Amen. Wa iyyakum. May Allah forgive us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amen.